This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On Tuesday this week, we learned that the fate of abortion rights in Missouri will be decided on the ballot in November. But how we got to this point tells us a great deal about the state of politics in the Show Me State. Missouri is in a unique position. After the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision 2 years ago, it became one of 14 states that moved to ban abortion in almost all circumstances, and Missouri's ban was the first. And depending on what voters choose in a few short months, that ban could be overturned. To talk about Missouri's political journey to this moment and discuss what voters will be choosing in November, we welcome St. Louis Public Radio's Statehouse reporter, Sarah Kellogg. Sarah, it's great to have you back on the show.
Good to be back, Elaine.
So let's start with the basics here. This week, Missouri's Secretary of State announced that a proposed constitutional amendment, which would end Missouri's abortion ban, had gathered enough signatures to appear on the November ballot. What does that mean for voters in November, Sarah?
So as you said, the number one thing is it undoes the state's abortion ban, which right now doesn't allow for any exceptions for rape or incest, only for medical emergencies. But it also allows for abortion up to fetal viability, which is generally recognized to be about the 23-24 week mark. It also bars the government from denying someone access to what the amendment calls reproductive freedom. And that not only includes abortion, but also access to prenatal and postpartum care and birth control. And then finally, it also allows the legislature to pass legislation regarding or regulating abortion after fetal viability, as long as it doesn't put the mother at risk, both physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, at one point there were multiple abortion initiatives being proposed. What were those options, and how did we get down to this one?
Yeah, so Missourians for Constitutional Freedom is the group behind the amendment that's going to be on the ballot in November. And they had 11 petitions initially filed that had kind of varying degrees of differences. And eventually they withdrew all but the one that is going to be on the ballot. But there was another set of petitions from Jamie Corley, who is a Republican. She was also a candidate for Secretary of State. Hers were more moderate than just one that was on the ballot. One allowed for abortion up to 12 weeks. Another just created exceptions for abortion in case of rape and incest. But, as Courtley told us, she didn't want there to be competing amendments, so ultimately she withdrew hers, which left the one that will be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Now, GOP opposition to this ballot initiative, certainly there are many Republicans who are not in favor of this, and Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft fought in court to change the description of this initiative. Why is that, Sarah, and what were the changes that he wanted to see?
Yeah, so when an initiative petition kind of goes through the process, it is up to the Secretary of State to create the ballot language, but that can be challenged in court and was challenged in court by the ACLU. And ultimately, the Western District Court of Appeals ruled that Ashcroft's summary of the amendment was, quote, replete with politically partisan language. So they did not like his amendment or his language for the amendment, and it was struck down. And ultimately, language that was written by Cole County Circuit Judge John Beadham, that's what was used and that's what's going to be on the ballot. So there was accusations that his language was partisan in anti-abortion light, and that's why they did go to court.
Mm-hmm. Now, Missouri Republicans have tried very hard in the legislature to do something called initiative petition reform, and that strategy was meant to prevent what is now happening with this abortion ballot initiative. Sarah, remind us about that context. I mean, would IP reform change something about this process?
Yeah, so another way to say IP reform would be making it harder to amend the Constitution. And that's been what Republicans in the legislature has wanted to do for the past couple of years, but mm-hmm. It's flamed out. I think ultimately, maybe the best case scenario goal was if they were able to get IP done in the legislature this past year, it could have been put on, in theory, the August ballot. And then that would have made it harder for any changes to the Constitution to be happened in the November ballot, which is when the abortion ballot was likely to be up for a vote. And so I think that was the ultimate goal. But, they didn't get it done in the legislature, and now that is not in place.
Mm-hmm. So is what's happening now possibly, a worst case scenario for anti-abortion Republicans?
I think the second that IP didn't go anywhere, making that harder. I think there was definitely kind of concern. There was a big effort from Republicans to ask voters to decline to sign the petition in the first place. And then when the signatures were turned in and it showed that the group behind it, Missourians for Constitutional Freedom, had double the 171 roughly 1,000 signatures needed, then there was a request, well, if you signed it and you didn't mean to, you can repeal it. So it's kind of up to this point. And now I'm sure it's now shifted to just defeating it at the ballot box, which is getting the message out there that they don't want this passed.
Mm-hmm. And what do all those signatures tell you about support for the initiative?
You know, I think that it shows that there definitely is enthusiasm there. Again, they had to have roughly 171,000 signatures, and they had to meet an 8% voter, basically percentage in six of Missouri's eight congressional districts. And not only do they meet that threshold in the six districts, the number of valid signatures, which was ultimately less than what they turned in, but this is what the Secretary of State said was valid, was 241,000. That is way over what they needed. Mm-hmm. And so I think that shows that there is an enthusiasm there for people. And as our reporting has done, as my colleague Jason Rosenbaum has done, that's also not a potentially a bipartisan vote either. There are plenty of Republicans that do not like how extreme this ban is, that there are no exceptions for rape or incest, and that instead they want a little bit of leeway there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ashcroft just came in third, that is to say last, in the primary race for GOP governor last week. And abortion has been a major issue in Missouri elections for a long time. How did that play out in the election that we just had?
You know, I'm not really sure if it did. Ultimately, all three of the top gubernatorial candidates were all on the same page there, that they didn't want to see the ban overturned. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, but ultimately, again, abortion wasn't on the ballot. So I'm not sure how much it really played a factor in the August primary. It's obviously going to play a much different role in November.
Mm. Now, Ashcroft, he clearly opposes this measure, but he just certified the initiative signatures, which we started the segment with. Is this something he could have conceivably avoided doing, or is this a matter of his doing his job as Secretary of State?
I don't really see that situation. I think when it showed how many signatures were there, that was going to have to be a lot of signatures that were then deemed invalid for anything to kind of happen. I think the ballot language was kind of the thing that he had in his power. Then ultimately, then it was just signature collecting. Mm-hmm. And again, he had 241,000 total that were quote unquote valid. That is way over what they needed. And you compare that actually to sports betting, which is also going to be on the ballot. Just for example, St. Louis, the first congressional district in St. Louis, which includes St. Louis and St. Louis County, needed 25,632 signatures. The number of valid ones for sports betting was 25,714, which was only 82 votes to spare. So that's a lot closer of a vote. I think when it's kind of a blowout like that, there's not really any hankering or, you know, kind of tinkering you can do anyway. I think he just did his job.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get to sports betting, Sarah, what is it that you can tell us maybe about the chances of this passing, legalization of abortion, passing in November?
The fact that there was this many signatures, that it was double what they needed, shows that there is momentum. And that's people canvassing and signing things. When it's on the ballot, when it's a simple majority, a 50+1, I think there's momentum there. And as I said before with my colleague Jason Rosenbaum, he said that this isn't even just a Democrat or Republican issue. There are plenty of Republicans that are not happy with this total ban. So I definitely think it has momentum.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with St. Louis Public Radio State House reporter Sarah Kellogg about some of the initiatives that people will be seeing when they go to the ballot box this November. So let's return to sports betting. And this is something that you and I have talked about before on the show. That will be Amendment 2 on the November ballot. And it's there because a petition garnered enough signatures to put this issue to voters. What makes this something to watch, Sarah?
Well, I think part of it is because this is another example of voters going after something or voting on something that the legislature hasn't done the last couple of sessions. So sports betting, there is an interest in passing sports betting in the legislature from both Republicans and Democrats. There was, in theory, a path forward, except for there was one senator, now Secretary of State, Republican nominee Jenny Hoskins, mm-hmm. who wanted to tie it to another issue. And again, in the Senate, as long as you have one person who isn't for it, you can filibuster that and kill it easy. And that's what's happened the last couple of years, is there isn't momentum. And the sports organizations, including the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they back this. I think you know, especially the Cardinals, I think they were tired of waiting for this and decided to go through the legislature. And there's precedent for that. You have medical marijuana and recreational marijuana going through that vote, as well as expanding Medicaid. And so it's kind of just another saga of, well, the legislature didn't do it, so now we're going to. Mm-hmm.
So, Sarah, what sorts of sports betting would Amendment 2, if passed, permit?
So it would be allowed in professional sports, and it would allow some collegiate sports betting, but it wouldn't allow you in the collegiate level to vote on individual, like to bet on individual athletes. Like, I'm a big Mizzou Tigers fan, obviously my alma mater. I couldn't, you know, bet and say, oh, I think Brady Cook's going to throw a touchdown on his first play. Like, they don't let you do that on individual athletes. And you cannot bet at all on youth or high school level. And so those are the restrictions. It really is mainly pro sports, but they are letting collegiate, but I can say, I bet Mizzou will win their first game by, you know, two touchdowns or something. Mm-hmm. That's a bet I could make, but I couldn't do it on individual athletes saying, I think that, you know, it'll be a Brady Cook touchdown to Luther Burton. You know, that's not going to be allowed.
Now, another measure that will be on the November ballot, Sarah, is about elections themselves and about who can participate in them. Talk to us about Amendment 7.
Yeah, so this one, basically, it would amend the Constitution to make it only allowing citizens of the United States to vote, which I want to be clear, that is already illegal in Missouri. If you were not a citizen of the United States, you cannot vote in Missouri elections. But I think because it's in statute, the proponents are saying, well, it's not in the Constitution. So that is why that there is that effort. That was also tied into initiative petition reform a lot earlier this year, but ultimately that didn't happen. And then it also prohibits the ranking of candidates by limiting voters to a single vote per candidate, which basically eliminates ranked choice voting. It would not allow municipalities to pass anything that would then have elections be decided by ranked choice voting. Now, there is a carve out for St. Louis, which is implemented an approval voting system. So it's not quite the same as ranked choice voting, but it's an approval voting system that was approved in 2020. And the Constitution Amendment does carve out that system. So that would not be affected at all.
Mm-hmm. And before we move away from that, can you help us understand why is it that we're voting, not we, because I'm not a citizen, I would not be voting. Why are Missouri voters going to the ballot box and looking at something that entails something that's already illegal? I mean, does that somehow not matter?
I think it's an indication of kind of how this election year is going, with the idea of undocumented immigrants and people in Missouri voting, which again is not happening. You know, it's already legal. There's not overwhelming evidence that it's happening. That's just kind of been a talking point for Republican primaries and elections this year. That was a huge talking point for the primary for Secretary of State, and several candidates kind of coming out on that issue saying, this is my number one priority. And it's just kind of it's kind of a microcosm of what I think is like a national point. So I think that's why there's such an emphasis on it.
Mm-hmm. And then, insofar as opposition to ranked voting goes, why is there opposition to it? And what do those who are against it say?
I mean, that's a good question. I think there's lots of discernment that the fact that the person who maybe gets first place might not have the number, you know, top number of votes. And maybe it's someone that got a lot of first place votes, but then got a lot more second, which is why I think there's some discontent over that. I think a lot of the protesting on that is also just it's the Missouri legislature imposing state control over what would be a local municipality issue of just allowing counties and municipalities and cities to kind of do the elections the way they want to. And as they say, you know, Republicans consistently are the party of quote unquote smaller government. Well, they're backing this issue. That's not a small government thing. That's, you know, so I think there's a lot of discontent over the fact that it's basically forcing Missourians and Missouri to do elections one particular way. Mm-hmm.
So, Sarah, overall, I mean, how do these ballot initiatives affect the November election?
I think that ultimately the abortion amendment is the big one. I think that you could have asked me that in just January before it wasn't even inkling and they were gathering signatures or not even gathering signatures yet, that this was going to be kind of the biggest game changer, as it were. I think obviously sports betting and the ranked choice voting, and also there's a minimum wage increase statute changes on there. Those are all obviously going to get votes, but I don't know if they're going to drive out people to vote as much as the abortion amendment. And I think Democrats are really hoping that gives them a boon when it comes to other elections, that maybe they decide to vote for someone that they believe will quote unquote like protect that right more than if it was a Republican. And so I think that that's kind of the kind of the thought maybe from Democrats. We'll see what mm-hmm. happens. And I'll repeat a third time. This is not really a bipartisan issue for some. It is just kind of an issue voter. And as we see a lot of times with marijuana and medical marijuana and minimum wage hikes and Medicaid expansion, Missourians do vote for those things when it, you know, when it strips down to the issue. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, you just got done with a very grueling primary season. Last week was quite the week. What is it that you're going to be watching for as we get closer to November, which is, you know, just a few months from now? You know, are there angles that you'll be following or stories that you'll be looking for?
I'm pretty, it's kind of a reset button after the primary, because then kind of the narrative changes now, because there's not really a question of who is the most progressive or who isn't, you know, progressive or who's the most conservative. So now it's a, you know, Republican versus Democrat in lots of cases. So I'm curious kind of what issues they cling to and capitalize on. I don't know if I really have any angles yet. It's still August, but, you know, you can ask me in a month.
Sarah Kellogg is STLPR's State House reporter. Sarah, as always, thank you for providing context and details on all things Missouri politics.
You got it. Thanks, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.